Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the Big Sell when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments, because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we now see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. You know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, wouldn't you think? And are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school, but your daughter can receive an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to a law is in order for you to suffer from its effects. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, it's automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, informative, entertaining, and free. Doesn't cost you anything to find out. You can call right now and order one. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. I should do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we've been talking about this thing called the Big Sell. The Big Sell is when a con man comes in and sells you a bunch of crap that you don't need, don't want, can't use, and shouldn't have. And boy, we've been buying a lot of that here in the United States. We buy cancer, fluoride, cholesterol, global warming, and 9/11. Like it's been on special. In fact, our politicians are so convinced about global terrorism and 9/11, they're beginning to believe their own press reports. I mean, we'll buy anything in this country. We'll buy a gold mine at the bottom of the Pacific Trench and think we got a hell of a deal. I ask, how gullible can we be? Well, I don't know. But it doesn't seem to have any end to it. So I'm not out here as an evangelist trying to get you to change the way you vote or to write a letter to your senator or trying to get you to change your life or give you an altar call to give your heart to Jesus. Hell, all of that's been done, tried, and didn't work in the past, not likely to work now, and it sure as hell ain't going to work in the future. So for the few of us that are sitting around the campfire wondering, well, what the hell do we do then? Well, let's gather around here. Let's talk about what is the solution for us? I've often said it's a waste of time, effort, and energy to talk about problems if you don't have a solution to them. The hell good is talking about 9/11 if you don't have an answer to it? Talking about the Iraq War is a waste of beating your gums against nothing, you know, it's a waste of your time unless you've got a solution. Politicians, they talk about peace, peace, when there is no peace. In fact, there's a prophecy in Jeremiah that talks about that. When they're talking about peace, peace, and there is no peace, you'll know war is right at the door. And that's what they're talking about constantly at the United Nations. You know, it's always trying to sell you peace, peace. There hasn't been any peace in the 20th century. I haven't seen any in the 21st century, and you ain't likely to see any until the second coming. Forget about peace. All you're going to see is more war, strife, civil disorder, riots in the street. And that's what we should be preparing for. The practicalities of here's what's coming. Forget about Mr. Rogers and Big Bird. That's a fairy tale. Wake up now and let's smell some coffee. The big sell has to do with selling you things that are patently false. They have been in the past, they are now, and they will be in the future. And we got to get to a point in time when we can put our feet on the floor, stand up, and act like we're intelligent adults. Now, I want to give you another example. Last time I was talking about this thing of the healthcare news put out by the Heartland Institute. These newsletters are put out because we talked about medical licensing last time. I said the last thing you need is a licensed medical doctor. It's called the licensing process or program. And there's an opposite to that. Did you know that when you've got licensing over here, do you know what the opposite to licensing is? You ever thought about it? Now, when you went to public school, they didn't say, well, we need to choose between licensing and brand name. They just said, we got to have licensing because licensing is the way things have always been done, and licensing is safe and secure, and we need more licenses. Hell, they want to license frogs croaking in the pond. And I pointed out to you last time, licensing is a government big sell for the purpose of making money. That makes a lot of money for the medical industry, pharmaceutical industry, insurance industry. That's what it's for. And it's for making money off of you. It's not for better medical care. If we wanted better medical care, then we would attack the licensed medical profession for killing 130,000 people a year by giving them bad drugs. And remember that the bad drug dealers, that is the street pushers on the street, they only kill 6,000 people a year. Licensed medical doctors kill 130,000. Hell, if you want the safest drugs available, drugs that are less likely to kill you, you want to buy them from Tony down on the street corner. He only kills 6,000 a year. If you go to the Rexall store, they kill 130,000. Of course, they do it legally because they're licensed to do that. And that's the purpose for a license. It's to protect you in case you killed somebody. Because a license, by definition, is permission to do something that's illegal and lawful, a tort or a trespass. It's illegal and unlawful to kill people. That's all. And so, if we want to kill people, because I'm a licensed medical doctor, I need to be a licensed medical doctor to kill people so I don't have to face a common law action for wrongful death. Now, I was reading a little bit further here in the paper. This is a newsletter. It costs $36 a year, put out by the Heartland Institute. It's for legislators and congressmen and senators and health professionals and so on, which is why I brought it to your attention here, Joe and Sally, because I thought, since you're paying for it, maybe you ought to know what the hell they're selling you. That's a wild new idea. Since how that's what they're selling us, would you like to see the product? You're going to buy it, whether you see it or not, but it would just be kind of handy, don't you think, that since you're buying it and paying for it, that maybe you could see it, too, you know, so you know what the hell you're getting. Now, Georgia cuts spending to save taxpayer-funded insurance programs. Did you know that you have taxpayer-funded insurance programs. Who's being insured by these taxpayer-funded insurance programs, and who gets the premiums? Did you ever ask that question? Oh, I'm paying my premiums to Medicare and Medicaid, and it's the government that gets it. It's a government insurance. No, it isn't. It's Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and 15,000 other companies. They're the ones that are getting the money. And hey, listen, these taxpayer-funded insurance programs don't have anything to do with you, Joe and Sally. The purpose behind them is to take the money from you, Joe and Sally, and transfer that wealth to the insurance industry. That's the purpose behind these. Hell, if you thought that socialized medicine was out here for the benefit of the public, you know, you've been smoking some funny weed there, boys and girls. Now, Georgia health officials, here's the article. Georgia health officials have implemented $1.6 billion in spending cuts in order to keep those enrolled in the state's two key taxpayer-funded health insurance programs from losing coverage amid a statewide budget crisis. Well, God love those legislators. Huh? They're just out here working for you and me, trying to protect our insurance coverage. Now, the plan is expected to keep Medicaid and Peach Care, the state's SCHIP, State Children's Health Insurance Program variation, which provides comprehensive health care to children who do not qualify for Medicaid, intact through 2010, according to the Georgia Department of Health and Human Services. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this money and buy these insurance policies for these little children out here. Isn't that special? Now, raising insurer taxes. The bulk of the cut is coming from a 5% decrease in Georgia's Medicaid and Peach Care programs, which is being achieved in part by delaying a planned increase in provider reimbursements. State officials are also considering an additional 3% surcharge on commercial insurers operating managed health care plans. Those are called HMOs in the state. An authority granted by the 2005 Federal Deficit Reduction Act, which requires certain states to levy a tax on every managed care provider by October of 2009, regardless of whether they do any business with the state through Medicaid. All right, now, the feds came up here and said, okay, Georgia, you got to charge 3% more to Blue Cross and Blue Shield so that we can fund this taxpayer-insured children's medical program. All right. Who's going to pay for that? Huh? Who's the final guy in the line here is going to pay for that? Well, let's run through this for a minute. We got a bunch of children out here, and they don't have this insurance, and we want to give it to them. So we need to get some money. So we're going to go out here, and we're going to tax the HMOs. That's the insurance industry. What's the insurance industry going to do? They're going to raise their premiums. Can you figure that out? Huh? Come on. Now, you don't have to be real smart to figure that out. Did you think the insurance industry, they're just real concerned about little children, and so they're going to take the money out of their own pockets and pay it for you so you don't have to? Huh? Did you think that? Hey. You've been smoking dope here listening to Mr. Rogers. You're out here in fantasy land someplace. Wake up and smell the coffee here. Here's the way this game's played. And the government comes along and says, we need this money over here. If I pass this tax on Joe Sixpack, he'll get mad and vote Republican. I know what I'll do. We'll word this so that we're insuring little children. It's for the children, our future. See, because that always strikes a chord with everybody, doesn't it? Wait a minute, why do these little children need health care? Why do they need health care insurance? Well, because we feed them pork and fat, and we shoot them up with what do they call that stuff now? That mercury they put in the vaccines? Thimerosal, that's what it is. And we're shooting them up with thimerosal, and that's why we got to have this insurance. And we're going to charge the HMOs. Now, all that does, the HMO then raises the premiums on the rest of the taxpayers out there. Who in the hell is the rest of these taxpayers? Not you and me, Bob. Now, as soon as they raise the taxes on the HMOs, they raise the premiums on the rest of us. We pay those premiums, the HMOs take it, they pass it into the government, who then in turn goes back to the HMO or goes back to some other insurance company and pays the premiums on the little kids. Ultimately, it is the worker who pays it all. But you think you're getting this freebie from the government. That's the big sell. It's a con. It's a swindle. And you wouldn't know that if you didn't subscribe to one of these newsletters. And that's why I'm recommending this Heartland newsletter. It's $36 a year, comes out 10 times a year. It's called the Healthcare News. You know, if you're interested in healthcare. Now, if you're not interested in healthcare, hell, you know, just tuck it away in your heart and forget about it. But I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't seen the article. Because, you know, what do we know what's going on in Georgia? Well, what's going on in Georgia is also going on in Missouri, California, Washington, Oregon, and Florida. They're doing the same things there. When one state comes up with a neat scam for screwing the taxpayers and the workers, well, the other states all jump on board and say, hey, how do we get in on that? And they do. And when one insurance company out in California figures out how to scam their policyholders, well, then the insurance companies in New York went, well, hell, we need to learn how to scam our policyholders up here in New York and Florida and all around the world, all around the country. So it's nothing new. Let me ask you this. What do you think you need insurance for anyway? Well, you need insurance because you're a criminal breaking the law. Yeah, that's right. Let me show you how that works. You got a God over here, and he says, don't eat any blood, fat, or pork. Can you say pig, boys and girls? Don't eat pig. Now, here's God comes along and says, don't eat this. Now, God is the only guy around here that really cares about your health, safety, and welfare. I mean, if you thought that's coming out of the Georgia legislature now, Bob, it's time for you to wake up. And the Georgia legislature's got a job to do. They're there to make money for, protect the insurance industry, and to screw you. Now, that's their job, and they're doing a hell of a good job of it. God, on the other hand, he was concerned about good health. And so he said, hey, look, you people, I created all you humans down here. You don't have enough hydrochloric acid in your gut to digest this fat. So let me give you a piece of advice here, and we'll frame it. By codification, you shall eat no manner of fat. Don't eat pig. All right. Now, you and I are smarter than God, and we know that. And so that's why we eat pig, because we're smarter than God. And so we eat pig, and then we don't have enough hydrochloric acid to digest it. It goes through our walls of our stomachs and into our arteries, and it gives us atherosclerosis, and then we have a heart attack, and it costs a lot of money, very painful, and it costs buku bucks. And so we don't want to have to spend $100,000 on this Roto-Rooter job, you know, bypass surgery or heart transplant or something like that. And we want to pass that cost on to somebody else. And this is called limited liability. Now, God also told us, don't practice limited liability. Don't do that. I want you to practice strict liability. But, you know, here again, we're smarter than God. I don't deny it. We're all of us smarter than God. So we're out here buying insurance. Now, the insurance companies ain't dumb, you know. Those people make their living taking on risk and selling you limited liability. And they do it for a price. So they sell this to you, and they call that the premium. Actually, that's a bet. And they give you odds. You know, your premium isn't going to be as big as the payoff. That's what we call giving odds. Even money is where you pay in 10, and if you win, you get 10. Odds is where you pay in 10, but if you win, you get 100. And that's where you're at with insurance. Not everybody's going to win. Some people aren't going to get sick. We know that statistically. But we also know statistically that some people are going to get sick. So the insurance company wants to limit their liability. They want to limit their payouts. And so they write these contracts themselves so that when you get ready to collect on your health insurance plan, they're not going to pay you all that you're entitled to. And if they do, you're going to fight for every damn dime. That's the way that game is played. So I got a little better program over here. It's called the Ten Commandment Plan. Can you, that's a long word. Can you say Ten Commandment Plan, boys and girls? Because that's the opposite or the alternative to the taxpayer-funded insurance programs. It's called the Ten Commandment Plan. Very simple, very straightforward. There are 19 health laws in the Bible. 19 health laws. Now, if you will practice these 19 health laws, you will not get sick. Isn't that special? And that's because in order to get sick, you have to violate one of these laws. See, we had a contract negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai about 3,100 years ago. God, the Creator, came along and said, hey, listen up now. Let me tell you how this game's played. You practice my Ten Commandment program over here. You keep all of my commandments, judgments, and statutes, and I will lay none of these diseases upon you. So if you want to know where these diseases are coming from, they're coming from God Himself. Well, not that He's running around striking you down here with a heart attack, but these diseases, this mechanics, this machinery, this program was created by God. See, God not only created sex, human beings, He also created venereal disease, gonorrhea, syphilis. And that gonorrhea and syphilis are the natural penalties that we pay for adultery. So if you want to go down to Flo's and tear off a little on Friday night, that's fine. But you got these little microbes running around here in our whorehouses. And as a result of that, some of us come down with gonorrhea, VD, genital warp, genital herpes, and genital warts, and one thing and another. And so, you know, these are painful, they're expensive, it costs money, and so we don't want to pay that penalty, so we buy insurance. And the government comes right out and says, hey, we want to help fund that. Well, of course they want to come out and help fund that. That's where the money's at. Politicians have a symbiotic relationship with the sharks, the insurance industry, the medical industry. Now, I don't have any health insurance, and I'm working hard to avoid it. God, I'm just doing everything I can to stay the hell out of it. And they keep coming back saying, oh, Mr. Gordon, you just got to have this health insurance. They keep trying to sell it to me. See? But I've already read this script, and I know how this game is being played, which is why I like to recommend the healthcare news to lay people, just truck drivers and housewives. And, hey, did you know how you're getting screwed, blued, and tattooed today? Well, why don't you get this newsletter here? Just go to www.heartland.org or call them direct at 312-377-4000. Can you remember that? 312-377-4000. And you can read these stories in here from people that are in economics, like medical licensing impedes quality and affordability of care. If you want to be impeded and you want to spend more money, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. Stick with what you got. Now, if you don't want to pay more money, then maybe you ought to start thinking about. Now, I had a little medical thing come up here the other day. Medical care costs $12,000 a year. $12,000. I haven't had any medical insurance for a long time. I won't tell you how long, because then you'll be able to count. Some of you people out there might count. But I've been taking that $12,000 a year insurance premium and sticking it over here in my Carnival Cruise slush fund can. God, I got a ton of money in there. So I take that can over there. My boy Dirk has epilepsy. And years ago, he was run over by a car, pickup truck, and it screwed up his hip. Well, as the time went on, that hip, you know, went out on him. So he had to have an artificial hip. Now, sometimes people say, well, you're just opposed to doctors, you religious nut. No. I'm not opposed to doctors and hospitals. Hell, sometimes there could be a legitimate need for it. You know, if you get your leg cut off in a car wreck, you know you need some immediate help. You need some emergency help. You need the ER. You need a doctor and a hospital. Shut off the blood. Sew up the stump. And then rehabilitation to teach you how to walk on your new artificial limb. I'm not against that. I don't know where in the hell you people got that idea, but every once in a while somebody write me a letter and they say, well, you're just some of the religious gook. Hell, I ain't religious at all. I don't go to church. I ain't out here selling you Jesus and Him crucified. I'm selling you something here that the churches don't have, the Ten Commandments. Those guys in the churches now, they ain't selling you the Ten Commandments. They're selling you insurance. They're not selling the law of God. They're selling you fat blood and pork. Telling you that's good stuff. Eat more of it. It tastes good, and I don't deny that. But, hey, here again, you know, maybe arsenic tastes good, too. I haven't tried any. I don't know. I don't know what arsenic tastes like. Somebody's going to say, well, have you ever ate arsenic? How do you know it don't taste good? Well, it ain't good for me. I've seen enough evidence of that, you know, that arsenic ain't good for you. Whether it tastes good or not, it's irrelevant and immaterial. Big Macs taste good, too, but they ain't good for you. Now, Massachusetts' insurance mandate is causing longer wait times and physician shortages. That's what socialized medicine does. And in this country, we're calling it health care insurance. In England, they just call it, what do you call it over there? Isn't it socialized medicine? Up in Canada, they got socialized medicine in Canada. It's damn bad up in Canada. If you want medical services, you got to come down here to the States. You Canucks up there, you can just stay there in Canada. We're getting the same program you got. Hell, you can't get in to see a doctor. Well, anyway, my boy Dirk, he needed this work done, and they wanted somewhere out around the neighborhood, as I recall it, of $30,000 for a hip transplant, what do they call it, replacement surgery. And I told the doc, I said, hell, my boy can run over to India, get it done for $8,000 and have a nice vacation to boot for $10,000. So faced with the competition of the Indians, the doctor said, well, I'd do the surgery for $7,000 cash. I thought that was a pretty good deal. I could have jewed him down further, I suppose, but I said, hell, $7,000 sounds pretty reasonable to me. He said, you'll have to make separate arrangements with the hospitals. Well, the hospitals are all socialized medicine here. I don't know if you knew that or not. The government pays for your hospital. They don't pay for the doctor. So my boy goes into the hospital, comes out. He's in there about 3 days, comes out, paid the doc $7,000 cash. He's happy as a clam at high tide. Thank you, taxpayers, for paying the balance. God love you. You like that? Hell, I didn't make it that way. I'm just reporting to you. That's the way that works. Now, I say that's a better program, a hell of a lot better program. Pay cash, and then take that $12,000 a year. Now, see, for $12,000 a year in 3 years' time, $36,000, it would do the same thing, wouldn't it? That's called self-insured. I've pointed that out to you time and again. I've got the Gordon Fire Insurance Company, Gordon Liability Company, Gordon Life Insurance Company, Gordon Healthcare Company. I'm in the insurance business, too. Of course, I don't sell it to anybody else. I just do it for myself, pay my own premiums, put them in my coffee cans. And then I've got the cash there to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. That's called strict liability. I'm responsible for all of the health care needs, housing, welfare, food stamps, everything that the Gordon family, the Gordon clan needs here that I'm the patriarch of. I have to provide it. How's that? But, you know, that's a benefit to all of you. Let me give you a little illustration here. Carla Smith, you know, she's our local welfare lady. We call her social lady. Well, years ago, she called up my boy Dirk. This is 25 years ago now, when he was just a whippersnapper. And she said, hey, I understand you got epilepsy. And he said, yep. Got it from that car wreck. So they screwed up his nerves over there, and they figured that's probably what caused it. So anyway, it's life. It's the breaks of the game. He can't work. He's handicapped. So he got this handicap. And it's what they call a permanent disability. That's the highest level of social ladder climbing that you can get down here in Ozark County. I mean, when you can go in to the coffee klatch and tell everybody I'm retired on total Social Security disability, I mean, people will bow down and worship you. That's the highest status you can achieve here in the Ozarks. Total disability on Social Security. Well, she offered that to Dirk. And he said, but I don't have a Social Security number. She said, you come into the office and we will fix that for you. Kind of like my boy Dirk's too damn dumb to go get a Social Security number for himself. But if you come into the welfare office. Now, why does the welfare office call my boy and offer him total disability worth $2,500 a month 25 years ago, offering him your money? Well, it's because the social lady needs clients to justify her job. And she's running low on clients, and so she's out beating the bushes and trying to find one so that she can sell the program to. Now, my boy Dirk, see, we practice the Ten Commandments here. And we have our own welfare system, and we think that people that don't work shouldn't eat. Crazy crap like that. I don't deny it. But, you know, so we work hard and we produce. We thought, and we still do, that our medical disabilities aren't your problem out there, Mr. and Mrs. America, and you don't need to pay for that. We'll pay our own, and we do. I'm an old man, and I ain't on Social Security. First of all, I wouldn't get out of bed for the pittance they're offering me, but number two, I don't want to be controlled by the government trying to sell me Social Security, for crying out loud. I worked hard to avoid that, to get out of it. It's easy to get into Social Security. It's hard to get out. Tain't impossible to get out, but it ain't all that easy. So here's my point. You see, if my boy Dirk is collecting $2,500 a month, you got to be putting in $2,500 a month for him to draw it out. Now, you start multiplying that by a few thousand, a few million people, and pretty soon you're starting to talk about some real money. Now, on the other hand, if we have to pay for that ourselves, oh my God, all of a sudden, we don't need to go to the doctor, because when I was a kid, boy, when you went to the doctor, it cost $5 for an office call. $5. By God, my old man wasn't about to blow $5. You had to be sick for 3 days before you could see a doctor. Today, your kid's got the runny nose, and your old lady's jumping in the Suburban, got him on a stretcher, laying out in the back, getting him down to the pediatrician as soon as she can. What the hell's the matter with him? Got a sore throat. Sore throat. What the hell is the matter with this kid? Got a sore throat? Give him some Listerine. Send him back to school. That's the way we used to deal with it. Today, it's a medical emergency. My God, you got to take him down to the pediatrician. The pediatrician looks at him and says, oh, my God, we got to put him in the hospital for observation. That's because they got a vacancy rate over at the hospital. And on top of that, you've got insurance. And so the insurance company is going to pay for his stay in the hospital and pay for the doctor and pay for all of this. And all of this is being paid for by who? Well, it's your employer. He's the one that's writing the check for the Blue Cross Blue Shield. And now, hey. You people think this medical care stuff over here is free of charge. And your old man's paying for that, Mother. Every day he goes to work, he's paying for that. Every damn dollar. And when the insurance claims window gets too many claims, they just raise the premiums on his employer. And his employer raises the premiums on his customers, called a shop rate. And on it goes. And so the bottom line is, we're paying all of this out here. That's the big sell. We've been conned into believing that health care is free. It isn't. It's god-awful expensive. Used to be cheap. But you see, when you've got socialized medicine, everybody wants to collect their share. And when you do, you can't get into the doctor's office because everybody's down at the doctor's office waiting to get their share. That's why medical services in the countries that have socialized medicine is so damn poor. Hey, I'm at about the midway point here in the program, and I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact desk. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. You should keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the big sell. This is where government gets into the act, along with the major multinational corporations, associations, sometimes even with religious groups and organizations, to sell us things that we don't need, don't want, shouldn't have, and can't use. And we buy them, you know, things like cancer, fluoride, cholesterol, global warming, and 9/11. And we buy it with gusto. That's the sick part of it. We're just out here buying the stuff with gusto. And now they're trying to sell us this health care program. Here's what. National health care insurance is going to be the equivalent of compulsory automobile liability insurance. Nothing more, nothing less. That's what they're angling for. And that's because it's big bucks. Big bucks. I don't have a calculator here that's big enough that can handle numbers like this, but if you do, take $12,000 a year, because that's how much a family's health care insurance is going to cost. And the president is promising us that every family in America is going to have national health care insurance. And that's why we have all these wonderful government cabinet officers and people in place who are going to deliver all these great benefits to us. That's $12,000. You got that? We got to multiply that by the number of families that there are in America. Okay, so multiply that times 130 million people. I might be able to do that. Let me put 12,000 over 130. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'll whip off 3 zeros there. Let's take 12 times 130,000. See what we get. 12 times 130. 1, 2, 3. Equals 1,560. So we put 1,560. 000000000, and that's 1, 2, 3. That's $1,560 billion. See, that'd be $1.5 trillion a year in premiums. That's what they're after. That's the big kahuna. That's the big sell. And it doesn't have anything to do with your health care. You wipe that right off your face. any more than I've reported on this. Remember, a week or two ago, I reported on insurance. And I told you, I said, now you got compulsory auto insurance. But, you know, 90% of the people in the inner cities are uninsured, and they're driving around hitting you, and they ain't paying for it. So why do you need to pay a lot of premiums to get hit? You know, you don't need to pay anything. It's kind of like hiring a lawyer. You see, statistically, if you hire a lawyer and you go into court on a criminal matter, you'll lose 94% of the time. I mean, that's with a lawyer. You're going to lose 94% of the time. Hell, you can go into court by yourself and lose 94% of the time free. You can save yourself all that money. That's what I did one time. I woke up and I said, hey, I don't think I need to go into court and pay a lawyer. Now, of course, I'll let you learn from my nickel. I used to run a company called Atlantis Manufacturing, and I had a lawyer. His name was Dwight, and God, he's a bright guy. Oh, was that guy smart. That guy was so smart, he embarrassed me, I'll tell you that. I was in his office one day, and I was counting all the pieces of paper he had on the wall, 30 pieces of paper on the wall. He graduated from the law school in LaSalle, Illinois. It's Illinois is about where I'm from. And all these papers on here, God, this guy was so smart. So I hired him, and he did three cases for me, and he lost three out of three. I thought, well, he's consistent. Three cases out of three. Now, I paid this guy $6,000 a year. That was the retainer. That's so I could have a button on my telephone that said Dwight on it. I pushed the button, and it dialed automatically. I paid $530 a month for that telephone, too. Got it from AT&T. See, I never claimed to be the sharpest marble in the drawer. Well, that was before I could count. Well, anyway, I'd get Dwight on the phone and say, I got this problem over here, and he'd tell me the answer to that and have it written up for me and charge me $300, $500,000, $2,000 for all these contracts. Every time I needed a contract, I'd say, here's the deal, and so he'd write it up. Well, that's it. Now, three of these deals went haywire, and they went to trial, and three times he lost. Now, I'd pay him $5,000 each time. I paid him $6,000 for 5 years. That's $30,000. Then I'd pay him $5,000 three times, that's $15,000. That's $45,000 plus expenses. I paid $50,000 to this guy to do three cases over 6 years. Lost three out of three. Cost me $50,000 to lose three cases. That's about, $16,000-$17,000 a case. Got to thinking about, well, how can we cut costs and shave expenses? And I said, well, dude, next time we have a court case, I won't call Dwight. He's going to lose. And so I'm going to have to go in and argue this myself. So I'll just go in there and argue it and lose it myself. And then it's kind of like do-it-yourself carpentry. You know, like do-it-yourself plumbing. Do-it-yourself upholstery. This is do-it-yourself law. So I just went into court and got up on the witness stand and said, here's the way this came down, and won the case. Could you believe it? Yeah, I went in, cost me nothing, won the case, paid him $50,000 and lost three in a row. That's where I came up with the idea that you can go into court representing yourself and lose free. Don't even have to go to law school, learn how to do that. And hell, if you win, it's a bonus. All right, now watch this. The Massachusetts insurance mandate is causing longer wait times and physician shortages. The dramatic increase in the insured population that followed Massachusetts' imposition of an individual health insurance mandate has caused a significant increase in average wait times to see a primary care physician. That's according to figures provided by the Massachusetts Medical Society in its monthly publication. More than 340,000 Massachusetts residents have gained health insurance since 2006 under the state's landmark health care reform law, said the report, which added employers, insurers, providers, and patients have all done their part to make health care reform a success. Got that? These fools must believe their own press releases. Now listen, you go into the doctor, but you can't see the doctor because there's all these other people ahead of you. And the primary care physicians who only make $300,000 a year aren't going into primary care. Only 2% of college graduates now, medical care guys, are going into primary care, and the doctors in Massachusetts are leaving the state. They're going over to New Hampshire, someplace else, where they can make more money. You know, that's what the marketplace is all about. That's why Joe is down on the street corner selling heroin. That's because that's where he can make more money. Because if he goes over and tries to open a Rexall store, they'll put him out of business for unfair competition against Rexall and Osco Buttrey. You know, practicing pharmacy without a license, practicing medicine without a license. And so that's why he goes underground. That's why people are buying cigarettes, you know, from Luigi. It's because he's got them for $2.50 and 7-Eleven's got them for $5. So that's what competition's all about. Now, the economics of healthcare is very simple. If you have more people seeking the product than there are providers, the price goes up. When you get the balance down to where the doctor has to compete for the customers, the price of healthcare goes down. When you open up health care to the unlicensed, I know that sends a shudder through your body. Let me repeat it again. When you open up medical care to the unlicensed doctors and nurses and so on, then we open up what we call brand names. Then we ask questions like, hey, George, have you got a doctor? Yes. Who do you go to? Tom. How is Tom? Pretty good. Is Tom reasonable? I thought he was pretty reasonable. Does he do good work? Yeah, I thought he did. See, when somebody wants to go to school here, they will sometimes ask, how do I know that your school is any good? And so I say, well, let me give you the names of two or three of my students, and I'll have those two or three students give you a call, and then they can tell you what they thought of my school. And so I'll call a couple, three guys and say, hey, this guy called and he's a little nervous. And why don't you call him and tell him what your experience was? And so the guy calls him and then the guy says, well, did you go to Gordon's school? Yeah, well, what school did you go to? And they'll tell you, and well, does Gordon know anything? And he can tell you, no, he's dumb as a box of rocks. I wouldn't waste my money going to that Gordon school. Or he may say, God, that guy Gordon walks on water. He's the smartest thing I ever saw in my life. Smartest whip. You know, one or the other. That's what we call brand name. Now, most people are really nervous about that concept. And so when they go to school, they want to go to college. You know, they want to go to, you know, something like Brigham Young University. See, we don't even have a college here. We just call this the Gordon Law School. We don't even give out degrees. We're not in the business of selling degrees. We're in the business of selling information. I sell information. If you want to buy information, this is the place to come. If you want to buy a degree, you don't want to come here. Now, lawyers, you know, nice guys that they are, when they go into court, statistically, they lose 94% of the time. A pro se litigant, when he goes into court, he wins 90% of the time. Almost reversed. Not quite, but almost. Even if you're a dumb pro se, I mean, you know, you can read a little bit, and you're not the smartest guy in the world, but if you could win 50% of your cases, you're better than a licensed lawyer. Hell, if you could win 8% of your cases and lose 92, you're better than the national average with a lawyer. I just wanted to point that out to you. Now, our averages here run around 90%. I've been in court for a long time, done a lot of cases, didn't win them all. Can you beat George Gordon? You bet. Yeah, I'm not invincible. You can whip my hiney anytime you want. But, you know, you got to fight real hard, and you're going to bleed a lot if you're going to do it. And I can win my share, and I can teach other people how to do the same thing. And I'm not licensed. Can you believe that? I have a license. I was offered one time. I remember Denny Salas came out of the office there one day and he says, Hey Gordon, you wanna be a lawyer? Well, come on in here and take the test. Denny was the president of the Idaho Bar Association. I said, Denny, you You want me to take the test, become a lawyer so that I can be licensed, bonded, insured, and controlled like everybody else. He said, but this is where the money's at. Well, he wasn't whistling Dixie there. Licensed lawyers, by God, those guys have they got a license to steal. That's why they're licensed. Because the government gives them a license to steal. And if I went out and competed with one of them, heaven forbid that I'd go out here and give anybody legal advice, but, you know, people call here and say, Mr. Gordon, I want you to give me some legal advice. Oh, my God, heaven, do you know what would happen to me if I gave you people legal advice? Well, they'd throw me in jail. You can't compete with a lawyer. They have a non-competition clause in the licensing program. It's like a doctor. You can't compete with a doctor. They don't allow competition. They've got a licensing program. That's why lawyers are so expensive. They don't have any competitors. That's why doctors are so expensive. There's no competition. That's why you stand in line and share the shortage, because they're practicing communists. That's the way the game is played. Now, when you practice the Ten Commandment model, you get something different. Competition. You know, you get price competition, you get quality competition. You got to go out in the marketplace and scramble for customers. The reason that I can't charge as much as a licensed lawyer is because I'm not licensed. But can I compete with them? Oh, you bet. Yeah. Oh, I can compete with lawyers all day long. I have no problem with that. That's why they all hate me. Well, I wouldn't say all of them. I got two lawyer friends. They're not all hostile to me, but most of them are. And that's because they don't like a scab in a union shop. Now, that's what that boils down to. And the same thing is true here in healthcare. And the people that are opening up to the minds and the eyes of legislators and politicians and so on, well, honest ones, is the Heartland Institute. And that's why I picked up their banner here and I said, hey, let me tell my listeners about this. This is called www.heartland.org. And the newsletter you want is called Healthcare News. If you want to know where the bodies are buried in this healthcare issue, as I mentioned the other day, you know, when we talk about insurance, we don't talk about insurance or no insurance. We're just talking about insurance versus insurance versus insurance. The concept of, hey, let's abolish insurance altogether. They call it going naked. Let's abolish healthcare licensing. Hell, let's abolish licensing altogether. You know, there was a time in America when there was no licenses. You didn't have to be a licensed plumber, a licensed carpenter, a licensed doctor, a licensed proctologist. You didn't have to have a license to drive or a license for anything, because we weren't practicing that licensing model. We were practicing the Ten Commandment model. Licensing comes from the communist ten-plank model. That's where it comes from. Government control, government regulation, government monopoly, fascist corporate dictatorship. Hey, if that's what you want, you're on the right track. Stick with it. You can't miss. That's what David said. He was facing Goliath. And he said, that guy's so big, I can't miss. Everybody else said, that guy's so big, who can stand before him? David said, I can do that. Can't miss him. Now, tuck that one away in your heart. Now, let's think about this healthcare news. Georgia cuts spending to save taxpayer-funded insurance programs. That's just a scab to raid your wallet. Nothing more, nothing less. They make you think we're doing this for the little children. BS. Massachusetts insurance mandate is causing longer wait times and physician shortage. That's an expose. It's exactly correct. You got health care insurance in Massachusetts, and now you can't get in to see a doctor. Hell, that's the way it's been everywhere. It's been tried before, and it's working in Massachusetts just like it worked in England and South Africa and Canada. And if that's what you want, stick with the program. You can't miss. That's why I'm trying to avoid it, like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Now, when you get out here in the marketplace and you got to scramble, like that doctor I told you about, when you tell the doctor, you know, if you want to compete, then you're going to have to compete with the Indians, because over in India, they've built these big hospitals over in India. They're not the only ones. There's a couple other countries doing this too. See, they send their best and brightest over to America to teach them to be doctors. So then those guys go back to India, where on a pittance they can live like kings. So, and then they build these big hospitals, big state hospitals, socialized medicine. But hell, that's what you got here. Anyway, they're looking for your dollars, and so you pay them $8,000, and they'll give you $30,000, and you get a paid vacation in the process. Well, that's a hell of a deal. Now, my doctor here in Springfield, faced with competition from India, said, "Oh, well, I'll do it for $7,000." All of a sudden, the $30,000. Hey, listen, if that doctor can do my boy for $7,000, he can do your boy for $7,000. Now, that's what competition does. It drives prices down. That's the Ten Commandment model. Free enterprise, free trade. The Ten Plank model calls for monopoly, and that's what they've gotten with licensing. Now, you wouldn't know that if somebody hadn't laid that out for you in spades, that there's an alternative to the licensing scheme, and that there was a time just 100 years ago when medical doctors weren't licensed, and they couldn't charge whatever the hell they wanted because there was competition. Competition. And here's what keeps everybody in line. If somebody kills you or injures you while they're treating you, you sue them under a common law tort, and they got to pay you. See how simple that is? Doctors today are licensed. Hell, you can't sue those guys. They're protected. Somebody's going to write me a letter and say, "Well, you can sue them for malpractice." Only if they're outside their protocols. If the guy's within his protocols, hell, you can't get a lawsuit. You can't get it docketed, for crying out loud. So don't think that the government over here is doing you any favor here, Charlie. You're paying for every damn dime, and you're getting the bad service that goes along with it, and it's just a big sell. They're selling you. It's a con. It's a swindle. And the reason I thought I'd share this with you is because I'm a con man, and you needed a con man like me to get on the air and say, "Hey, let me explain how these guys are screwing you over." That's the way that's been done. And the Heartland Institute, I don't know if they're con men up there or not, but they're laying it out in spades. This is the way you're getting screwed. And they do that in the budget and tax news and in the healthcare news and in the environment and climate news. And they got a fourth newsletter I get in here from time to time. Deals with education and how you're getting screwed, you know, by government and public school and education, how much money. They're working the same scam. It's just that government is not limited to any one area of expertise. They screw you on medicine and drugs, and then they screw you on taxes, and then they screw you on environment and climate, you know, like with global warming. The world isn't getting warmer since 1998. It's getting cooler. Did you know we're in a cooling trend now? Have been for 10 years. They're still selling global warming, but it's actually switched over. Now we've got a global cooling trend now, just in case you didn't know. But they're still out here with the big sell, and they're selling the same scam. They just changed the subject matter, but their modus operandi is still the same. Now, that's government in a symbiotic relationship with the insurance companies, medicine, big business, manufacturing, automobiles. It don't make any difference what it is. They're at banks, you know, finance. They're out here screwing us, blueing us, and tattooing us. But there's a better way, and it's called the Ten Commandment model. And when we stick with that Ten Commandment model, then we're out of the game. You know, go screw somebody else. I got a better program. So if you want good health, then you want the Ten Commandment program. Remember, that's called Budget and Tax News, the Heartland Institute. It's called the Heartland or heartland.org. Here we are, out of time again. So I got to give you a reminder here that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and the law hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, we're out of time again. I got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.